1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A few years ago, I met a Mongolian lady. She lives on the border of Mongolia and Russia, a remote part of Siberia. Her name is Valentina. She grew up as a Buddhist, like her people. But she came to be very dissatisfied with Buddhism. She would go to the temple and offer the various sacrifices and prayers and offerings, as it were. But there was nothing to it for her. It was just empty ritual. She knew that she was wasting her time going to the temple because there wasn't anything there. It wasn't real. She believed that there was one true God. And so she began to stay home, she told me, and pray rather than go to the temple. She just stayed home and prayed to the one true God, whoever that was. She didn't know, but she knew He had to be out there. Eventually, the Lord brought into Valentina's life a wonderful soul-winning lady named Lena, who became her neighbor and friend. And Lena introduced Valentina to the one true God, who can be known only through Jesus Christ. And she was joyously converted. Valentina came to understand the truth here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. A very important passage of Scripture. A very simple passage of Scripture. But as even yesterday, we continue to lay a foundation of the strong stones that we build the work upon. Christ, the Lamb of God. The gospel message, which is specific and universal and powerful to save. And this truth here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There is one God. One God. He's often imitated, impersonated, fabricated, but never duplicated. There is only one God. Now, of course, we know there are religions of the world, past and present, believe in many gods. We call that polytheism. We know the ancient Egyptians were polytheists. They worshipped, if it could walk or move, they worshipped it. You see the plagues in the book of Exodus. Every one of those plagues was directed at a particular Egyptian god. The ancient Aztecs. I used to teach history at Bob Jones University, and I taught the history of the pre-Columbian civilizations, including the Aztecs. And they had many gods as well. One of their gods was named Huitzilopochtli. All right? Huitzilopochtli. I won't even begin to tell you how you spell it, but Huitzilopochtli was the god that caused the sun to rise in the morning. Very important god. Imagine if the sun didn't come up, what it would mean. It would mean death. It would mean the end of life. It would be over. The sun had to come up. Well, how did it come up? Well, Huitzilopochtli required a fresh beating heart to be offered to him every day. And so that's why the Aztecs made war on their neighbors and gathered lots of POWs that they would then take. And every day they would take one out and lay him out and open up his chest and pull out his heart and offer it up to Huitzilopochtli. And guess what? The next day the sun came up. It worked every time. Yeah. It's folly. But it's not just the ancients that believed in many gods. Of course, there are many cultures around the world that still embrace many gods. In fact, there's many people in America who have many gods. They may be parked in their driveway, but they have many gods. But the Scripture says that there is one God. But you know, there are people in this world, religions of this world, that believe that there is one God. The most obvious is what? Islam. That is part of their declaration of faith. Every day, 5 times a day. Part of it is that there is one God. The Muslims believe this. They declare it from their minarets every day. A couple of years ago, I was in Uzbekistan, a Muslim country in Central Asia. And I was in the city, the ancient city of Samarkand. And I gave the guard a couple of bucks and was allowed to go up into the minaret of the old mosque there in Samarkand. And I went to the top of that mosque and I shouted as loud as I could, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all." I loved it. From the top of the minaret? Yeah. Trouble is, I don't speak Uzbek. And most people were just looking up like, "What's he yelling about?" But it made me feel good that the truth was going forth from that tower. There are people in our world that believe, they may agree that there's one God. Sometimes we say, they say that they're just divine nicknames. You've got your name for God, I've got my name for God. You know the problem with that argument? Is the cross. Because if there are just different names for God and different ways to get to Him, then Christ did not need to die. If someone ever brings that argument up to you, you lift high the cross. Because if there are other ways in which we could be saved and we could come to God, don't you think God would have employed that rather than send His Son to die on a cross? Do not allow the cross to be made of no effect, but lift it up. The Scripture is clear. There is one God. Others believe that there is one God. So how do we know whether our gods are the same? Just different names for God. Well, it's found right here. And it's our second point. There is one God, and there is one mediator. In other words, there is one way to the one God. Christ. A beautiful name for Him here. Mediator. Mediator. The one in the middle. We use this term all the time. We talk about driving down the road and you should stay on your side of the median, the line in the middle of the road. We talk about the media. That's those people, that entity between the event and the public. All right, they're in the middle, communicating the news, the media. The one in the middle. A mediator comes into a situation and brings two sides together. Christ is our mediator like no other mediator. He bridged the enormous gap between sinful man, us, and a holy God. We do not have the power to reach to God. We cannot do it. We are sinful. He is holy. He is high above us. There is an unbridgeable, great, enormous gap between man and God. And it is impossible. It is impossible for us to cross that gap. Some years ago, I was at the Grand Canyon. And I was taking pictures of the Grand Canyon. I took rolls and rolls of film and I got my pictures back later and I looked at them and said, "This isn't the Grand Canyon." Because you can't put it on film. Cameras can't capture the Grand Canyon. It is beyond that. It is an experience. But I was doing my best to capture the experience, taking pictures. And my lens cap fell from my pocket and hit the stone there at the rim, and it went over the cliff. My lens cap. And I thought, I need that lens cap. I want that lens cap back. This is not good. And my wife wasn't with me, so I went to the edge of the cliff. And I looked over, and there was my lens cap. It had fallen on a little extra part of the cliff there, about 4 feet down, was my lens cap on this little ledge. So, looked around. Don't try this at home, okay? I slipped over the edge and picked up my lens cap and slipped it in my pocket. And then I looked down, and it was incredible. I was looking down the backs of the eagles or whatever flying down below me. It was something else. And beyond was a 30-mile stretch. It was fantastic. What are the odds of my making it to the other side with one strong leap? What do you think? Huh? You say, you must have a death wish. You must live with a death wish. No, of course it would be foolish. It would be impossible. You know what the Grand Canyon is like. It is absolutely impossible for a person to cross the Grand Canyon in their own strength. And so it is impossible for us to reach to God. But praise God, by His grace, He made a way for us when we were dead in our sin. And that was through our mediator. There is one God and one way to the one God. Our mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. I like that because it emphasizes His incarnation, His humility, reminding us that it cost Him to be our mediator. And this work of mediation, this work of joining, bridging the gap between man and God, how was it accomplished? It was accomplished because Christ, look at verse 6, gave Himself a ransom. When we think about ransoms, we think about money. There's someone who is taken, kidnapped, and a ransom note is received, and typically the ransom note is asking for money. But what can we pay God? Nothing. Our debt is infinite. And so the sacrifice had to be infinite. There was no money to be paid. He gave Himself a ransom for all. There is one God and one mediator. And there is one message. He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, the proper time, the appointed time, the fullness of time, including our time. The ransom was for all. Therefore, the message is for all. Everyone across the world. There is one way to the one God. And this is our motivation for missions. The Lord said in Isaiah 45, "Look to me and be saved, for I am God and there is no other." This has everything to do with missions. Because we know this. I don't think any of you have learned anything new tonight. You know it. You know that there's one true God who can be known only through Jesus Christ, who through His work on the cross is our mediator, bridging the gap between sinful man and a holy God. And therefore we can know God and have fellowship with Him and be called His children because of the work of Christ, our mediator. You know that. But do you understand that? The implications of that. That you know that. You know the only true God. And billions do not. I hate to ask it this way because this is what all those news reporters ask people. But how do you feel about that? Really? We're all very comfortable, aren't we, in that knowledge. But is that it? You know, comfortableness as an attitude is a kissing cousin of pride. And we can easily be somewhat proud that God, in His infinite wisdom, revealed the truth to us. Oh, we wouldn't put it in those words, but that's about how we act about it. That we're something special. I don't know. I look around the world and I see, as I did just a few months ago, people living, literally living, under sheets of plastic or in boxes. Kids raising themselves, no idea who their parents are. Muslims whose faces and hearts are filled with hate. And if they had an opportunity, they would kill me. And I look into the faces of these people and I think, Lord, why did You show Your grace to me? I could be that bearded man there, full of hate. I could be that kid who's growing up in the sewer. Why me? Did God see something special about me? Did He see something special about you that He allowed you to hear the truth of the gospel and be saved? And to have all of the advantages that you have in life because you're something special? No, I don't think so. All we can say, because I don't know the answer to that, all I can say is, by God's grace. By God's grace, not by anything that I had to offer Him. By God's grace alone. And so I don't want my attitude to be that of comfortableness or pride, but of humble gratitude. And to reflect the grace of God and the love of God He's shown to me, to live a life of sacrificial love. And to do something about those billions who do not know the one true God. I'm obligated. Paul said it. He said, I'm indebted. I'm a debtor. I have an obligation. I am constrained. I am motivated. I am directed by the love of Christ. And I cannot simply ignore the people who do not know Him. Turn the other way as if they do not exist. They are very real. And they are living and dying tonight all around the world. And may God open our eyes to that reality. If we could just really grasp this simple truth that we all know in our heads, but need to live out in our lives and embrace the understanding of our heart that there is only one way to the one God, it would motivate us. It would motivate us to go to the ends of the earth or to our neighbor, but it would motivate us to do something about it because God has privileged us to know Him. I was blessed early on in my ministry in areas behind the Iron Curtain to meet some choice saints of the Lord. One of these men who's now with the Lord was a man who had helped to hide Jews in Warsaw during the Second World War. And he was an agnostic. He did not believe in God. He was a confirmed agnostic, not believing in God, not knowing if there was a God, just indifferent to those things. He just really didn't believe in all of that religious stuff. But out of friendships and humanitarian concerns, he spared many Jews their lives and was later honored by the State of Israel. His name was Władysław Leszewski. Brother Leszewski said that after the Warsaw Uprising, that he was taken, he was arrested and taken and sent to a concentration, to a labor camp at Dachau. There were many ways in which the Lord spared his life during that time, and my time is going away. I'm watching the clock, so you don't need to. But here's a man who didn't know God at all, didn't believe that there was a God. Because of malnutrition, he was losing his eyesight, and one of his jobs was to draw graphs for they were plotting the bombings of some areas, and so he had to draw these large graphs for the Nazis. And he made a mistake on the paper. And the officer there said, "The next mistake you make, I will kill you." And he knew that he was going to make a mistake. He knew that the next day there was no way he could continue on because he couldn't see. And he went to the evening muster before they went back to their barracks. And he was so discouraged. And in his heart he said, "If there's a God, help me, because I know I'm as good as dead." After the muster, as he's walking back to his barracks and praying this in his heart, he looks down. And there, on the ground, it's a pair of glasses. And he picks them up. And he puts them on. And he can see. And he runs back into those barracks. And he's shouting. He told me, I was shouting, "There is a God. There is a God." That brother came to know the true God and was one of the early believers there and starting one of the first churches in Warsaw after the war. And God used him as a testimony for him for many years. But that was the day he learned this truth that we just take for granted. There is one true God. The world is full of gods, but there's only one God. And there's only one way to know Him. And by His grace, we know that way. And it's therefore our responsibility and humble gratitude and sacrificial love to get that message out. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would wake us up to Your reality. That these are not just words on a page, but that You are the true and living God, and You have graciously allowed us to know You through the work of Your Son. Praise Your name. Help us, Father, to glorify You by our lives and by our words and by our actions. And get this message out to the billions who are living and dying tonight without knowing You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.